Coming to you from the ReachMD studios in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, this is CME on ReachMD. This activity is provided in partnership with Topec Global and supported by an independent educational grant from Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. In this activity, we'll feature three experts in the field of metastatic colorectal cancer who will share insights on improving management of metastatic colorectal cancer when considering tumor-sidedness. Let's hear what they have to say now.
Part of what makes metastatic colorectal cancer so difficult to manage is that it comes with multiple genetic mutations, expressions, and amplifications, such as tumor-sidedness and location. And while recognizing that these distinctions can be challenging, the good news is that they offer essential clues into which treatment option is best for each metastatic colorectal cancer patient. And that's what we'll be exploring today. This is CME on ReachMD, and I'm Dr. Scott Kopetz. Joining me today, I'm pleased to have Dr. Sobrero and Dr. Xu to discuss two patient cases. I welcome you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's jump right in to our first patient case. This is a 58-year-old male, a truck driver, weighs 115 kilograms. Over the past 3 months, he's lost about 10 kilos or 22 pounds and complains of stomach pain, some diarrhea, and loss of appetite. There's a palpable mass on the left side of his abdomen, and further imaging reveals a mass over the sigmoid colon and three bilateral liver metastases, and these have a maximum diameter of 3 centimeters. He has 6 bilateral lung lesions as well, maximum diameter of those, 1.5 centimeters. Endoscopy confirms a non-critical sigmoid stenosis and adenocarcinoma on biopsy. His treatment team decides on systemic therapy. So, Dr. Xu, now that we have this background, what first-line pharmacological option would you go with in this if this patient was found to be RAS wild-type and BRAF wild-type?
Thank you for inviting me to have this interview and discussion. So, for this case, we should define the goal of our treatment. I think this case now have disseminated disease in the liver and in the lung. So that means it's an incurable disease. This is because they have several metastatic disease. We cannot resect all the tumor. So that means we have to go through with a goal for the prolonged survival and point of our treatment. So consider for this situation, we can choose the chemotherapy plus the biological agents. For the chemotherapy, we can choose FOLFOX, CAPOX, or FOLFIRI. So any of those three regimens are proper for this patient. So depend on the biological profile. So the patient was RAS wild type and the BRAF wild type. So, and also this is the left side of the disease. So maybe at this moment, one of the best option could be chemo plus cetuximab. Maybe this is the best because we get some of the literature, the data, like the FAIR3 or CLGB. So now for those cases, so patients have the longest survival, like the chemo plus cetuximab.
And turning to you now, Dr. Sobrero, if this patient was RAS mutant, would this change your approach?
Well, in the case the tumor was RAS mutated, of course, my approach would be completely different. In that case, of course, the anti-GFR are contraindicated. I would never use an anti-GFR in this condition. As a biologic, I would choose bevacizumab, and I would be uncertain whether to use a doublet or a triplet chemotherapeutic regimen as companion to bevacizumab. But my personal choice would be a doublet plus bevacizumab. I would be even more worried about this case, just in case he was RAS mutated, because the overall outlook for this patient would be worse, despite the fact that it is in the left side of the colon.
Now, Dr. Xu, there are plenty of treatment guidelines out there from the European Society of Medical Oncology, or ESMO, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, or NCCN, and other regional organizations. Could you walk us through what each of these guidelines recommend when treating left-sided metastatic colorectal cancer?
Yes. So maybe in the NCCN guidelines, so both biological agents are recommended for this type of patient, like the left-side RAS mutant wild type. So you can use one of those chemo, bevacizumab as the first line, or chemo plus cetuximab for this type of case. But in the ESMO guidelines, maybe they more refer or recommend for the combined chemotherapy in this situation. So a little bit different. But in both of the guidelines, the recommend combination of the chemotherapy plus both biological agents, but maybe in the ESMO, a little bit more strongly support the cetuximab combination. In the Asian areas, both of the combination are recommended. Of course, so maybe a little bit for the left side of RAS wild type in China, so a little bit strongly the combination.
For those just joining us, this is CME on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Scott Kopetz, and joining me to discuss clinical decision-making in metastatic colorectal cancer are Dr. Sobrero and Dr. Xu. So earlier we talked about how left-sided tumors can guide your treatment approach. But now let's take a look at right-sided tumors. For this next patient case, we have a 27-year-old female with an up-and-coming career in advertising and no family history of colorectal cancer. She weighs 61 kilograms or about 135 pounds and complains of fatigue, weakness, and occasional sharp cramps on her right side. She has a mild anemia on her blood tests, and further imaging shows a large mass on her ascending colon and four large lesions ranging from 3 to 6 centimeters in the right liver segments 5 and 6. An endoscopy shows a non-critical stenosis and adenocarcinoma. And similar to our first patient case, her treatment team decides to go with systemic therapy. So Dr. Sobrero, now that we have all the details covered, what first-line pharmacologic options would you choose if this patient was all RAS wild type and BRAF wild type?
Okay, I would be extremely worried about this case because she has massive disease both in the primary site as well as in the metastatic site. Although I would really hope for this young lady to be able to go down the avenue of potential curability because she only had 4 lesions in the liver. And actually, the 4 lesions are in segment 5 and 6, which are a sort of, quote, a piece of cake, unquote, for any liver surgeon, meaning that it is very easily removed. So I'm surprised to see that the team decided to go for systemic chemotherapy first without consulting a surgeon. However, because she's symptomatic and the lesions are between 3 and 6 centimeters, I would be also worried to submit this patient directly to surgery. So I would have chosen anyway chemotherapy, systemic therapy as well. Which systemic therapy and biotherapy? This tumor is on the right, which worries me because right-sided tumors of the colon live about 10-14 months shorter than the left-sided, so extremely worried on this case. And I have 2 or 3 potential choices here. This case is RAS wild type, so I may still consider the anti-EGFR, either panitumumab or cetuximab, along with a doublet, say for FOX or FOLFIRI. The reason for this being the fact that the anti-EGFR on the right side, although less efficacious, meaning impact on overall survival, are more active, meaning strong impact on response, than bevacizumab. So one first choice I could consider is a doublet plus an anti-EGFR being RAS wild type. I would expect a 20% response rate more. However, because anti-EGFR on the right side are usually considered much less efficacious, not active, efficacious than bevacizumab, in this case, I would prefer the second choice that I'm considering, and that is a doublet plus Bev. Actually, because she's 27, because she is in pain, is symptomatic and has massive disease, I would definitely prefer the third choice that I could consider, and that is FOLFOXIRI, the triplet chemotherapy plus bevacizumab.
If this patient was RAS mutant, how would this change your approach?
If this case was RAS mutated, of course, I would never consider an anti-GFR here. If it was RAS mutated, I would definitely go to the triplet, the FOLFOXIRI plus BEV. If the patient responds, I would not treat this patient for longer than 2 months, but go directly to the surgeon. And if the surgeon would operate on this case, I would go for surgery and complete with FOLFOXIRI as an adjuvant treatment after an R0, that is complete resection of the primary and the metastasis, given the site of the metastasis, segment 5 and 6.
And Dr. Xu, did you want to comment?
So if this is the mutant type, we treat it with the chemo plus the bevacizumab, but this is a case potentially resectable. So the 440, the triplets may get a better response rate, even plus or minus bevacizumab.
Dr. Sobrero, this time I want to get your input on this aspect of our discussion. In taking another look at the guidelines from ESMO, NCCN, and others, such as Pan-Asia and regional preferences, how do they each recommend treating right-sided metastatic colorectal cancer?
Again, they essentially give very similar messages. However, I would say that the Asian guidelines match more closely the NCCN guidelines. They make a sort of dogma on the fact that anti-GFR should not be given on the right side. Especially the latest NCCN guidelines make a specific point in subdividing right-sided colon tumor into two subsegments. The ascending colon and the cecum is considered really not correct to be treated with an anti-GFR, whereas the transverse colon is a maybe. So the indication from the Asian and the NCCN is quite straightforward. Never ever use anti-GFR on the right. The indication of the ESMO is much more open and liberal. And in case of conversion, the fact that anti-GFR affords an extra 20% response rate, they would allow combination of a doublet plus an anti-GFR in case the tumor is all RAS wild type.
Dr. Sobrero, before we wrap up this discussion, what would you say is the most important thing to remember when you're considering the sidedness of colorectal cancer tumors?
Yeah, let's wrap up all this. I'd say that the number one thing that should be taken into account is the fact that right-sided tumors live approximately a year less than left-sided. So we are talking about 35 months for left-sided and 25 months for right-sided tumors. Now, I would be quite open to the treatments, and that is why also I emphasize the fact that all the guidelines tend to converge. So it's difficult to make mistake. But the second message, that the major message that I would give, is that it is important to identify the condition under which it would be a mistake to treat a left-sided tumor with an anti-VEGF, that is bevacizumab, and the condition under which it would be a mistake to treat a patient with an anti-GFR on the right. And the first condition is having a tumor on the left side that needs shrinkage in a symptomatic patient. To me, using BEV under those conditions would be a mistake. I would always use an anti-GFR, either panitumumab or cetuximab. On the opposite, on the right, where bevacizumab is usually recommended, if I have a case of where shrinkage is not needed, using an anti-GFR is definitely a mistake to me. So number one, the different prognosis. And number two, it's okay using the several combination of chemotherapy and the different biologics that we have at our for our use. However, there are certain conditions where the guidelines should be respected fully.
And Dr. Xu, your opinion?
Yes. The sadness actually through the genetic analysis, we know that left side and the right side have a different genetic profile. Usually for the right side, the patient have the high mutation. So usually so the right side, the patient have poor prognosis than in the left side. Usually the patient have a longer survival for the left side. For the treatment consideration, we depend on the left side and the right side. So the biological option, the biological agents may be a little bit different. So depend on the sadness. Anyway, we know for the patient with left side, usually have a better prognosis.
So that's a great way to round out our discussion on the subject. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So in summary, we've discussed two cases with very different presentations on left and right-sided portions of the colon. We've also learned that the role of anti-VEGF and anti-EGFR therapies may differ substantially, and this adds additional components to think about when choosing the appropriate therapy for the right patient. So not only do we need to be considering the RAS and BRAF status of our patients, but now we need to be paying close attention to the tumor location and helping to make the optimal treatment decisions for our patients. For this, I'd like to thank both of our participating physicians, Dr. Xu and Dr. Sobrero, for their insights and experience in discussing these cases.
Coming to you from the ReachMD studios in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, this is CME on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Matt Bernholtz, and this activity is provided in partnership with Agile and supported by an independent educational grant from Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. In this activity, we'll feature three experts in the field of metastatic colorectal cancer who will share insights on improving management of this disease when considering tumor-sidedness.
That was Dr. Kopetz with Drs. Xu and Dr. Sobrero on metastatic colorectal cancer. To receive your free CME credit for this activity provided in partnership with TOPEC Global, be sure to complete the post-test and evaluation at reachmd.com/CME. This was CME on ReachMD. Be part of the knowledge.
That was Dr. Kopetz with Dr. Xu and Dr. Sobrero on metastatic colorectal cancer. To receive your free CME credit for this activity, provided in partnership with Agile, be sure to complete the post-test and evaluation at reachmd.com/CME. I'm Dr. Matt Bernholtz, and this is CME on ReachMD. Be part of the knowledge.